reading to you from Psalms, the 71st Psalm, in the 17th verse. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Well, 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, I've been trying to take the good news of salvation around the world. Now, I want you to know, friends, it's not easy to preach. It's not easy to be a preacher. But I wouldn't trade with the smartest, richest man in the whole world today. Well, listen, friends, I want you to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and maybe even a peanut butter sandwich, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the 25th Psalm. And let's begin reading with the 8th verse. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in thy way. We've labeled this the teacher of sinners. You say, Cecil, I'm not a sinner. Oh, yeah, you are. Romans 3:23 says, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, the good news of grace is that God loves sinners. Now, I've told you before, and I'll tell you one more time. When I went to Reverend Tom Baird's home at 3 a.m. in the morning, and I'm sorry, but I was drunk out of my mind, I went there because I had no other place to go. I'm at the end of the rope, and there's no knot in it. Now, I sat there and cried like I couldn't cry no more, and this dear man of God kept saying, Cecil, God loves you. I said, preacher, that's not true. God does not love, he does not love alcoholics. And I always believed that God didn't love alcoholics. They only loved good people. Well, that's not true. So he wanted me to explain to him why I did not believe that God loved me. Well, I said, all right, I'll tell you why. I said, God took my little baby sister by death. He took my mother by death. And then my dad married the meanest woman this side of hell. And she beat me and abused me and locked me in a basement. Then my dad died. I said, and you're going to sit there and tell me God loves me? He said, I certainly am. Then he turned to John 3:16, which is my most favorite scripture, and said this, for God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That made it put it on a personal basis. Now he said, Cecil, let me explain to you. God does not love your sins, but he loves you as a sinner. Now, some of you do not believe that tonight. My wife was one that didn't, first of all, she didn't believe that she was a sinner. Well, she was, because we all have sinned. Well, God is good, and he cannot be blamed for a sinner's plight. And God is upright, and he has provided a way of salvation. Now, here's what I want you to know. God teaches sinners the way to eternal life. That means life without end. No, my mind can't comprehend, because everything we know comes to an end, but eternal life does not. And I'll tell you something else, my dear friends. People who miss heaven and go to hell will spend all eternity, time without end, in torment in this book, in this book of fire, of hell's fire. You say, well, Cecil, now come on. I've heard you say this many times, God does not send people to hell. He doesn't. You are the one that tells God where you want to spend eternity. Well, how can I do that? Well, by just going the way you are right now. Going your happy-go-lucky way. But the time will come when you're going to die. And when you die, then it's too late. The Bible says every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus is the Christ, but then it'll be too late, friends. Now, I want you to listen. God had a rugged school to teach in. That's you and me. But I want you to know, God meets us where we are, lost in sin. Through grace, God lifts us to where we ought to be. Well, let me ask this question. How does God teach sinners? Well, first of all, God teaches sinners through the message of the cross. We have reconciliation found in Ephesians 2:16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. Now listen, when he reconciles it, he makes us right with him, as if we had never sinned. Well, God has proven his love to us on the cross. How do I know? Well, I tell you, it's very, very plain and simple. Here, let me take us over here to just a second. It'll take me a little while here. Let me take you over here to a scripture. I think it's going to be a blessing. Come on, let's get these pages over. All right, Romans comes after Acts, doesn't it? Yeah, I think so. Okay, let's keep going. My fingers must not be working this morning. Okay, it tells us in Romans 5:8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what a man told me one time? He said, I don't like to hear that stuff. I said, why? Well, he said, number one, I wasn't at the cross when Jesus died. No, you weren't, and nor was I. But I tell you what was there, our sins. He died for the sins of the world. Sin has to be paid for, and God chose his only begotten, only Son to come into the world to die on that cross to pay for our sins. Here's the goodness and righteousness of God appears in a friendly union. To see him united, one must stand at the foot of the cross and view them blended in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, friends, I want you to know this is true. The cross divides humanity into the saved and the lost. Luke 24:39. Behold my hands and my feet. That is, I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Adventist friends of mine, Jesus ate meat. What's your problem? Oh, friends, listen. You know, there's so many false religions in the world. Law keepers that really believe that if they keep the law, they can go to heaven or keep the Ten Commandments. Hey, I got a message for you. There's nobody in this world can keep the Ten Commandments. No, you can't. And if you could, you still miss heaven. Ye must be born again. You remember when Jesus hung on the cross, there was two thieves, one on one side and one on the other side. And one of them condemned the Lord and said, if you be the Son of God, you saved others, you come down off that cross and save us. But listen, the other thief said, wait a minute, wait a minute, I'm paraphrasing. We're here because we deserve to be here. We stolen, so that's why we're on this cross. But this man did no wrong. And then he turned to Jesus and said, from this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, friends, how could Jesus say that if he wasn't the Son of God? Now, listen, you heard me say this, and I want to keep saying it until I die. This thief never heard another message. This thief was never baptized. This thief never joined a church. But Jesus said, from this day thou shalt be in paradise. I've got some dear Catholic friends, and I mean they're dear people. And they swear up and down, because when they got baptized as a baby, that takes them to heaven. And they swear up and down, if they die, the priest can pray them out of purgatory. There is no purgatory. But they say there is. And they make a lot of money. Ooh, do they like a lot of money? I led a man to Christ who was part of our family. And his wife, and she don't have a lot of money either. She pays hundreds of dollars a year to the Catholic Church to pray her husband out of purgatory. He is in heaven. Why? Because I heard him say with his own mouth, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And I'll tell you right now, he told me with his own lips that I'm going to heaven now because I trusted Jesus. Well, I'm asking you, on which side of the cross are you? Which thief are you? Are you the one that's out and saying, well, if you be Jesus, or are you going to be this one that says, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, and he said, I shall be me in paradise. We're living epistles for all to read. 2 Corinthians 3:2. Ye are my epistles written in our hearts, known to read of all men. Friends, if you're a born-again believer, the world will see it. Yes, they will. Oh, my, yes. Well, the responsibility of Christian is to be a consistent Christian. Now, hypocrisy shouldn't have no place in their lives, but we're all guilty of it. Don't you tell me you haven't done hypocritical things, because you have, and so have I. Now, others are watching, and do you know what? Souls are at stake because of you and I. You know, many have been saved because they saw Christ in others. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story, and I'm not saying this that my halo is too tight. My wife saw Jesus through my conversion because he immediately, I mean immediately, delivered me from alcoholism. And she kept saying, what in the world happened to Cecil? Why don't he drink anymore? Why did he quit cursing? Why is he reading the Bible all the time? Why is he going to church? Because I've been converted. I am a converted alcoholic. Will sinners come to Jesus because of you and me? Oh, I hope so. Oh, I hope and pray so. Because, you know, we're the only Bible that many people will ever read in this lifetime. That's the truth. Now, God teaches sinners through circumstances in their life. Now, let me give an example. The 9th chapter of Acts, it tells about Saul of Tarsus. His life was to destroy the church and to destroy every Christian that he come in contact with. Well, China has tried it. The communists have tried it. Russia has tried it. Cuba's tried it. Korea's tried it. They can't stamp out Christianity. As long as they got someone like you and me, they can't stomp us out. Well, Paul, or Saul, I should say, headed down to Damascus to pick up a bunch of Christians to put them in jail and to beat them and abuse them and all that. Well, while he was going, all of a sudden, dear friends, a great light appeared unto heaven, out of heaven, and dropped him like a ton of bricks. And he cried out, "My Jesus," and Jesus said, "Why dost thou persecutest me?" Well, he had a job for Saul. By the way, I think I told you, went to Russia Rushing has written a song about my life, and it'll be out on pretty soon in a few days. And I want you to have the name of that song is God Had a Plan. God had a plan for you, Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus. He knew what kind of a man he was. When God saved me back there so many years ago in my wretched condition, he knew that he was going to call me to preach. He knew I would be stupid enough to try to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. And that's exactly what I've tried to do. I've seen many, 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 many people come to Jesus in every service. My wife and I, when we go to the penitentiary, and when my quartet used to, there was not a service that somebody didn't come to Christ. We went there because God called us to go, not because we necessarily wanted to go. It would have been a lot easier to go to our own church and not have to spend all that money traveling. I used to have to buy our motel for three rooms of us, buy our breakfast and buy our supper. That was hundreds of dollars, but that wasn't the point. The point was God called us, and God supplied the needs of this ministry. And I want you to know, friend, if you're a young Christian and God's calling you to preach, you can trust he will take care of you. No, he may not give you a Cadillac, and he may not give you a Hartshafter Mark suit, but he will give you enough that you can go and tell others about sinners. So God teaches sinners through circumstances in their life, and Saul is a good example. Oh, friends, what that man didn't go through, he was shipwrecked, a snake bit him, he was in prison, and that's where he lost his head, was in prison. But while he was getting ready to be headed, he led souls after souls after souls to Christ. See, that sinner on the cross was the last sinner that Jesus saved before he died. See, that lost man was on his mind, just like you're on his mind tonight. He knows that you haven't trusted Jesus. He knows that you're a church member. He knows that you read your Bible. He knows you pray. He sees your good works. But, beloved, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot work your way into heaven. Ye must be born again. And you probably notice I say that quite often. And that's a scripture that God used on me the morning I was saved. He used John 3:16, but the preacher, Reverend Tom Baird, kept telling me about a Nicodemus. Now, he said Nicodemus was a religious man. Of course, you know, religion is not salvation. He was a religious, but he knew that his Jewish religion was not enough to get him into heaven. Well, why do you know that? Because he heard witnessing Christians talk about their born-again experience. Well, he said, you know what? I don't know if they're telling the truth, but I think I'll look up this Jesus myself and check him out. Well, when he saw Jesus, he put there by the evening, they said, because he was ashamed, I don't know if that's true or not, but he said, you must be from God. That's Nicodemus talking. You must be from God, for no man doeth the miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And then Jesus looked into the heart of Nicodemus, a good old boy. He was not an alcoholic. He was not a whoremonger. In fact, the matter is he was a member of the Sanhedrin court, which is the top court that you can get in Jerusalem. And he said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, the first thing that went through Nicodemus' mind, you mean to tell me, at my old age, I can enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, Nicodemus, are you a ruler of the Jews and you don't even understand that simple truth? He said, now you take the wind. It blows, but you can't see it. You never have seen the wind. You might see dust in the wind. You might see tumbleweeds. You might see lilies. You might see a lot of things blowing. Now, that is only the evidence of the wind. So it is with the Spirit of God. When the Lord comes into your heart, he changes you. He removes the heart of stone, gives you a heart of flesh, writes your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and it's sealed now and forever. You say, you mean to tell me that salvation is forever? Absolutely. This man, Saul of Tarsus, he had been proud, self-centered, religions, but lost. An experience that brought him to the end of himself, and it changed everything in his life. Meeting Jesus in this crisis brought him salvation. Now remember, they got beat up. Paul and Silas got a terrible beating. I mean, they beat them. They threw them in jail. And Paul said, you know, Silas, you remember that song we used to sing down at the synagogue? Yeah, let's start singing it. So they praised the Lord. They rejoiced. There was a joy in their suffering. The Bible said, if we will suffer with him, we shall reign with him. And then, because of their kindness, instead of moaning and groaning, God shook the jail and shook the doors right off the prison. Well, they could have all escaped, every one of them. Well, when the jailer saw what had happened, he run in there. And he fell on his knees and he cried out, good sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, the prisoners being present prompted this enduring question. Let me ask you, what circumstances has caused you to see your need for Christ? This experience has come your way to bring you to Jesus. Now listen to me, friends, and listen very carefully. God is reaching out to you right now. Jesus is showing you the way. Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Then he says, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Respond to his love and be saved today. Friends, the Holy Spirit of God is tugging right now on somebody's heart. I don't know who you are, but God does. And he's saying, Bill, Jim, Mary, Pete, whoever, I love you tonight, and I want to give you eternal life. I don't want you to burn in a bottomless pit of hell. I want you to have peace and joy, and I want you to live a Christian life, and you'll find it so much more exciting than when you were lost. And I can attest to that, my dear friends. Anyway, if you've got a tugging at your heart and you'd like to trust Jesus tonight, would you bow your head to me right now and pray the most powerful prayer ever known to man? Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner, and Lord, I'm turning my back on the old way of life. Lord, I'm opening my heart and inviting you in to be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Get on the phone if you prayed that prayer. Call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. My phone number is 303-471-8534. Please call. This may be the very last time that God will ever give you an opportunity. Don't harden your heart. Don't walk away and say, I don't believe it. And if you don't believe, cry out, God, help thou mine unbelief. 303-471-8534. I feel an urgent tonight for someone that they might call.
And now touch me.
Always touch me.
And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happens, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior,
friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, listen, if you have a problem about your spiritual problem, I don't know all the answers, but I'll tell you one thing, I'll talk to you, and we'll look into scriptures together, and we'll find a solution, because everything that you're faced with in your lifetime is in the book today. Well, friends, be sure and pray for my health and my wife's health as we go to prisons and rescue missions. We've got 3 services next week, and we have a service down at the Denver Rescue Mission. And this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. You stay sweet, and you keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.